听力课堂，听 class.com。
Lesson 30. Sedan. Flag. Hoist. Drastic. Proficiency. Plunge. Potent. Headway.Notorious. Payroll. Mar. Trump. Lure. Infrastructural. Counterpart. Inaccessible. Indigenous.Enhance. Immense. Exploit. Lucrative. Tarnish. Capsize. Fidget. Liquidate. Cannon. Coma.Intersperse. Vanquish. Interpose. Sizzle. Warp. Armory. Heretic. Basque. Flail. Override.Forsake. Surcharge. Sucre. Uranium. Odds. Defer. Muster. Dangle. Freckle. Fumble.Maxim. Rain. Bridle. Passage 1. Iris Rossner has seen Eastern Germany customers weep for joy when they drive away in shiny new Mercedes-Benz sedans. They have tears in their eyes and they keep saying how lucky they are, says Rossner, the Mercedes employee responsible for post-delivery celebrations.Rossner has also seen the French pop corks of bottles of champagne as their national flag was hoisted above a purchase, and she has seen American business executives, Japanese tourists, and Russian politicians travel thousands of miles to a Mercedes plant in southwestern Germany when a classic sedan with a trademark three-pointed star was about to roll off the assembly lines and into their lives. Those were the good economic miracle of the 1960s and ended in 1991. Times have changed.10 years ago, we had clear leadership in the market, says Mercedes spokesman Horst Kiemper. But over this period, the market has changed drastically. We are now in a pitched battle. The Japanese are partly responsible, but Mercedes has had to learn the hard way that even the German firms like BMW and Audi have made efforts to rise to our standards of technical proficiency. Mercedes experienced one of its worst years ever in 1992.The automaker's worldwide car sales fell by 5% from the previous year, to a low of 527,500. Before the decline, in 1988, the company could sell close to 600,000 cars per year. In Germany alone, there were 3,000 new Mercedes registrations over the last year than in 1991. As a result, production has plunged by 50,000 cars to 529,400 last year, a level well beneath the company's potential capacity of 650,000. Mercedes competitors have been catching up in the United States, the world's largest car market. In 1986, Mercedes sold 100,000 vehicles in America. By 1991, the number had declined to 59,000. Over the past 2 years, the struggling company has lost a slice of its U.S. market share to BMW,Toyota, and Nissan. And BMW outsold Mercedes in America last year for the first time in its history. Meanwhile, just as Mercedes began making some headway in Japan, a notoriously difficult market, the Japanese economy fell on hard times and the company saw its sales decline by 13% in Thai country. Revenues will hardly improve this year, and the time has come for getting down to business. At Mercedes, that means cutting payrolls, streamlining production, and opening up to consumer needs, a revolutionary step for a company that once considered itself beyond improvement. Passage 2. The biggest problem facing Chile as it promotes itself as a tourist destination to be reckoned with is that it is at the end of the earth. It is too far south to be a convenient stop on the way to anywhere else, and it is much farther than a relatively cheap half-day's flight away from the big tourist markets like Mexico, for example. Chile, therefore, is having to fight hard to attract tourists, to convince travelers that it is worth coming halfway around the world to visit. But it is succeeding, not only in existing markets like the USA and Western Europe, but in new territories, in particular, the Far East. Markets closer to home, however, are not being forgotten. More than 50% of visitors to Chile still come from its nearest neighbor, Argentina, where the cost of living is much higher. Like all South American countries, Chile sees tourism as a valuable earner of foreign currency. Although it has been far more serious than most in promoting its image abroad, relatively stable politically within the region, it has benefited from the problems suffered in other areas. In Peru, guerrilla warfare in recent years has dealt a heavy blow to the tourist industry, and fear of street crime in Brazil has reduced the attraction of Rio de Janeiro as a dream destination for foreigners. More than 150,000 people are directly involved in Chile's tourist sector, an industry which earns the country more than $950 million each year. The state-run National Tourism Service, in partnership with a number of private companies, is currently running a worldwide campaign, taking part in trade fairs and international events to attract visitors to Chile. Chile's great strength as a tourist destination is its geographical diversity. From the parched Atacama Desert in the north to the Antarctic snowfields of the south, it is more than 5,000 kilometers long. With the Pacific Ocean on one side and the Andean Mountains on the other, Chile boasts natural attractions. Its beaches are not up to Caribbean standards, but resorts such as Viña del Mar are generally clean and unspoiled and have a high standard of services. But the trump card is the Andes mountain range. There are a number of excellent ski resorts within 1 hour's drive of the capital, Santiago, and the national parks in the south are home to rare animals and plant species. The parks already attract specialist visitors, including mountaineers, who come to climb the technically difficult peaks, and fishermen lured by the salmon and trout in the region's rivers. However, infrastructural development in these areas is limited. The ski resorts do not have as many lifts and pistes as their European counterparts, and the poor quality of roads in the south means that only the most determined travelers see the best of the national parks. Air links between Chile and the rest of the world are, at present, relatively poor. While Chile's two largest airlines have extensive networks within South America, they operate only a small number of routes to the United States and Europe, while services to Asia are almost non-existent. Internal transport links are being improved, and luxury hotels are being built in one of its national parks. Nor is development being restricted to the Andes. Easter Island and Chile's Antarctic territory are also on the list of where government believes it can create tourist markets. But the rush to open hitherto inaccessible areas to mass tourism is not being welcomed by everyone. Indigenous environmental groups, including Greenpeace, say that many parts of the Andes will suffer if they ever become overdeveloped. There is a genuine fear that areas of Chile will suffer the cultural destruction witnessed in Mexico and European resort. Policy of opening up Antarctica to tourism is also politically sensitive. Chile already has permanent settlements on the ice, and many people see the decision to allow tourists there as a political move, enhancing Santiago's territorial claim over Antarctica. The Chilean government has promised to respect the environment as it seeks to bring tourism to these areas, but there are immense commercial pressures to exploit the country's tourism potential. The government will have to monitor developments closely if it is generally concerned in creating a balanced, controlled industry, and if the price of an increasingly lucrative tourist market is not going to mean the loss of many of Chile's natural riches.